Jesus came into the world to save sinners. These are the words that Rite One congregations hear just after the priest pronounces God's absolution for our sins. There is such comfort in these words. As we have been moving through the epistles, we have been noting that this literature contains a lot of instruction to believers about how to act. And here we come to a letter where Paul is writing as a mentor, as someone who could be honest about his past, about his background, and use it to teach others about the glorious grace of our Lord Jesus. Paul is an evangelist and church planter. He is gifted by the Holy Spirit with certain strengths that lend themselves to creating faith communities from scratch. Oh, to have a few of these in our congregation, a prayer that every rector is familiar with. Evangelists are wonderful gifts of God, but he did not leave the spread of the gospel to just one portion of the body of Christ. No, we all are to be witnesses to the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus. We are to tell others what God has done for us through Christ. This letter is a recording of one Christian speaking to another, providing the foundation for the Christian life. Paul is writing about the very things that are to be evident in the life of a Christian, and in fact do happen when one seeks the Lord fervently. There is no doubt that Paul, in his transition to being a follower of Jesus, had much of which to be ashamed. And yet we still see the constant touch of the Lord's hand upon Paul's life, don't we? Leading him away from being a persecutor and a blasphemer. Paul was called away from this life he had created for himself, but was still so far away from what Jesus wanted for him. And all the while, he was on the march against the cross. Yet it was the Lord reaching out to Paul, even as he held the robes of those who killed Stephen. This is what makes Paul accessible. Not that he was an accessory to murder, but even while he was a sinner, our Lord Jesus reached out to him and to us and calls us to follow him, to allow the Spirit to work within us. Can we not see ourselves in Paul? Is it not true that each one of us in this church today has been shown mercy upon mercy, even while we pursued our own will rather than that of God? It can go unnoticed if we fall in the way of the world. And the world says, hey, that person would have done that to you. You were just faster. The world says, God has done nothing for me. Why should I want to thank him? The world says to Christians, and believe it or not, I'm ashamed to say that I hear this. God knows my heart. I don't have to make his kindness known to others. This is why the reflective life is so important to the believer. We have to examine ourselves in order to see where we could do better. We also use self-examination to see blessings. When we see the blessings of God bestowed upon us, even as we continually miss the mark or outright defy God in our lives, we begin to see the beauty of how God's love permeates our lives. We begin to see that in actuality, Jesus Christ did come to save sinners. Even when we deny his presence, refuse to speak his name, or share his mighty works on our behalf, yet still our Lord Jesus grants us the grace we need to draw breath. One has to wonder if there actually are believers who would admit that they were gifted with mercy, even while acting in a way that did not glorify God. Paul shows us in this letter how unafraid he is to do this very thing. More to it, he's teaching Timothy that it's okay to do this, to speak openly of the past. It shows God's mercy rather than our weakness. Now, it is true, God does amazing things for the worst sort of person, both believer and unbeliever. And it is here that we return to the verse we began with. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It takes a believer, perhaps one long in the tooth, to come to this conclusion, or so it seems. We can intellectually wrap our minds around it, of course, but to practice one's faith enough to become self-aware, to catch oneself in unchristian behavior, and then realize that God's grace is still there, salvation is still offered, when we have the strength to say, "I'm sorry," to say, "I forgive." God is amazing. And we use so little of what is offered to us for free. It is much like the people who say we only use a small portion of our brain. The riches that we would experience, the instances of God's grace and power in our lives would be even further revealed. And it is all up for the taking because our Lord Jesus gave up everything to save us from our silly selves, to save us from our sin. What Jesus has done for Paul, he has done for me and for you. Surely each one of us has a Paul story to tell if we are really honest about the work of God in our lives. And why don't we share that? Seems like we make so hard what is so simple. And really, it's not about us, is it? But perhaps we focus so much on ourselves, we miss that particular fact. The stories that we could tell would be about God, of course, and His mighty power to take lives steeped in ridiculous self-centeredness and resurrect them into something useful for His kingdom. Jesus did come into the world to save sinners, to save me, and to save you, freeing us to spend our time working for the glory of God. We are free. We are unencumbered. We are loved by our Lord, and we get to celebrate these things that mean so much to the believer. Friends, our story is worthless. It is just one story of billions and billions. God's story in us through Christ, however, is a story worth telling and worth celebrating. It's one of salvation. It's a story of freedom. It's a story of love. And as we read Scripture, we become convinced of these things. Perfect freedom to help bring the kingdom of God to this place in Irving. This is the life of a Christian. This is our life as the gathered community of St. Mark's here in Irving. Perfect love, perfect salvation, free for the taking.